Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, and I think we have both seats filled now in the center studio. Cynthia, has your guest arrived?
Yes, he has. Not a minute too soon.
Hello, Mr. Wilbur. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Not too bad. Yeah, you can get a little close to that microphone, yeah. So we're in the same room.
Try that again.
Yeah. I think you're fine now.
Okay.
All right. And let's bring in Janet Manco. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
And first of all, to everybody, a happy Easter and what is it, Passover too? Is it Passover, Jill?
Yeah.
I'm
showing my ignorance here, but
I believe that tomorrow night is the first night of Seder.
All right.
First Seder?
Seders.
Yeah. Which is also Good Friday. This is one of those you get it all in one weekend.
All right.
Irrespective of your religion, because I believe that isn't the 21st also Orthodox? No, it's not. Okay.
No.
I think the Orthodox is a week late. I think
you are
they
absolutely
start
right.
Celebrating the 21st and they finish on the 28th.
I will all say right. it again. You are absolutely right.
Well, let us celebrate the Lakeville Journal. And I talked about this earlier in the week. And, you know, he's a little wimpy and not sure, but I think that Ned Lamont, our governor, is trying to do the right thing. He's been the first governor to come out here and face, the Council of Governments
twice.
And whether he follows through on everything, at least it's the first governor I know that's come out here to listen.
I know. And when you have senators coming out here that represent our district and saying, "Gosh, I had a hard time finding you," that's discouraging.
Yeah,
I mean, he just pulled right up to Torrington. He knew exactly where to go. And I got to tell you, because Patrick and I both went to Governor Ned Lamont visiting with all the first electmen and just sitting there and letting them sort of say, "Here's what we're upset about." He's tough. He's much tougher than you think he is, and he super friendly, super charming, super cordial, but very much like, this is what we're going to do, and we're moving forward. And gracefully took concerns from the selectmen and kind of said, like, this is going to work and this isn't going to work. So read Patrick's article to find out specifically what they talked about, but he was impressive.
No, he started to turn me around. I mean, I did vote for him, but with reservation, He looks like he's going to do the tough things that need to be done, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And good with people.
All right. The strike at Stop and Shop, all local people.
Yes.
You know what? And they estimate that Stop and Shop is losing $2 million a day when the strike is on. Now,
it's Stop and Shops all over Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah, and you always the bad thing about a strike is you never really get back the money you lose in the strike,
that goes bad.
But
the hams.
True. Right.
Well, you would figure
that
they would try to donate it, but they there's certain state laws and certain county laws that they can't do it all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm not going to defend them, but that's just the case. You just can't say, okay, come pick up this food.
We were discussing in our office when the strike is going to end, and one of the editors said, right after the Easter and Passover holiday. And I don't know that it was timed specifically to coincide with it, but there it is.
It is a big food shopping week leading up to it.
That's
really
right. And Alex and I were both noticing that when we go to Le Bon's, it's a very funny experience to go to Le Bon's right now, because you normally are there with people who, you know, every grocery store is different. And as they say at Le Bon's, the way that you know if somebody hasn't been here before is if they ask where the eggs are. So there's a lot of people kind of wandering through the aisles and just sort of like, where the eggs are.
I know. It's a strange
one. And the checkout girl's like, yeah, this
so this will help the other food stores in the area, you know.
It definitely will. Yep. All right. Let's go on to your story about what happened with the fire.
We don't always, you know, I would say we generally don't try to sort of tap into things that happen nationally and worldwide. That, you know, people have so many other media outlets to read about that. But we happened to, you know, both Andy and I had friends who were in Paris at that moment and were at Notre Dame. And my friend Michelle had been there with her 7-year-old nephew. She was taking him on a tour of Paris, and they went to Notre Dame, took photos outside, and said, we'll come back tomorrow. So that'll be something that young man's never going to forget. But of course, thank goodness, lots of rebuilding efforts, and I will be so happy if it turns out that it was just a random chance and not a terrorist attack. That would be the most heartbreaking thing.
It seems like it was a random, not even random, it seems like it was just your basic construction accident.
Yeah. But then you heard what happened in New York last night, right?
No.
A guy showed up with two 2.5-gallon gas cans, accelerant, and one of those lighters that you can light with. And he tried to get into the church, and somebody notified the police.
Which church?
That came in.
St. Patrick's.
And so the police came by and hauled the guy off, and he said, "Oh, I was just trying to take a shortcut to my car." And the police said to him, "Well, you got accelerant there along with gas, and you also have the lighter, so yeah. Off the
jail." Sorry about your luck.
Well, and apparently St. John the Divine had a big fire the night before the Notre Dame fire. And, of course, it's all coming right before Easter, which is unhappy.
Which is unholy.
It's unholy.
And how about the three black churches, historic churches,
yeah, in Louisiana,
that were burned?
I said it a couple days ago.
These are places of safety. They used to be places of refuge, and they're not anymore. They're not sacred.
Look back to the Revolutionary War era. There's the famous stories of people being trapped inside a church and the church suffer. Yeah. That's horrible.
All right.
Well, that was cheerful.
That's evil. Yeah. Okay. Moving on.
Hey,
but not what happened in Notre Dame, and thank God nobody was hurt.
Absolutely. Incredible.
Yeah. The story by Patrick Sullivan, the investigation into the Art Wilkinson affair, found strong, credible evidence of abuse and strong, credible evidence of the lack of a great denial. And once again, everybody I know has been giving Salisbury, the Board of Selectmen, just they spent probably close to, I think it's $70,000, but they had the whole report, unredacted, everything put out there.
Yeah, and it's Janet talks about this in her editorial, which obviously we'll get to later, but, it's hard in a community. This is somebody that, I've known for years, and I know that the Salisbury Selectmen were initially like, no, it couldn't be, that couldn't be, he's such a great guy. And then when you read the report, it's very damning. So, of course, we do have the link to that on our website. I believe you do, too.
It's a story,
the town of Salisbury has it there.
It's a story that's been in the background for years. And now the great thing about this, and the great thing the Board of Selectmen have done, is they have shed light on a horrible situation. And now Salisbury can move on, and there will be no whispering anymore in the background. They've really given a lot of people the ability to let this go now.
Yep.
They did a great job. Nature's Notebook by Bernie Drew, Plastics for Thought.
Bernie talks about recycling things and finding old items that can be reused. And I recently discovered down in Princeton, New Jersey, a store that has old records and old cassettes and old CDs and DVDs. And it's just so fun for people our age to go back and touch those things and buy them.
All right, Alexander. I like the all the pictures. Easter egg hunts. I love the picture of the kids actually running with their hair.
Alex's least favorite holiday: the Easter egg hunt.
The Easter egg hunts go by really fast. It was Salisbury, North Canaan, and Kent who had their hunts last weekend, and I believe Cornwall and Sharon have theirs still coming up. They do go by very fast, but they're a great opportunity to get kids outside running around. And they give us a lot of great photos each year.
And it wasn't snowing.
And Millerton and Dover are this coming weekend, along with that. Millerton and Dover Plains have their egg hunt with Easter on it. I remember several years back when the Easter Bunny got punched by somebody on the Sharon Green.
No. Yeah, that was several years ago.
It was a kid that got scared. Yeah.
At least it wasn't a dad.
No.
Oh, this is sort of like a T-ball game. I know who's in that suit, but I'm mad about that thing you did.
You got the opening day for fishing.
Well, my favorite day, and this, to the degree that Alex does not like Easter eggs, I love the first day of fishing. So I went out with Cordelia Schiller. And we took photos. It was a beautiful, misty day. It was a shame that we can't use all of the photos because we must have had 100 photos of an exquisitely misty, warm day. Again, no snow. And actually, we have coming up in next week's paper, DJ Dunce, who is known as the fish whisperer to his friends because he's so good at it. Every year, they release two golden trout into the factory pond and the kids' pond in Lakeville for the fishing derby, and nobody caught them this year. And DJ Dunce went back, I think, on Tuesday, and was determined to catch those two fish, and he did it. So we have a photo that Ann Day has for us.
Yeah, one year I broadcast live from the opening day of the fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a gray. It seems like opening day for fishing season is always gray and overcast.
Yeah.
And everybody,
or snowing.
And the only reason I broadcast live is the year before we were at Q103 and then we had the railroad station. The line of cars to go in on fishing day is absolutely amazing. It was absolutely amazing.
Although this year, even though it was pretty warm, apparently there were only three there at dawn.
The day I
when
went
they opened.
There were
usually they're out to all the way out to On the Run.
There were 70 or 80 people that were lined up and they went out fishing and I broadcast live and all of a sudden it just started to pour.
Yeah.
And it looked like the Normandy invasion coming back.
Yeah.
That's one of those sights I'll never forget.
Yeah. A nice story from John Torsiello too about the Riverton Fishing Derby, which is just one of them where it's just such a different kind of a fishing derby where everybody stands in the river and people stand on the bridge watching them.
All right. Something that we covered here, the symposium looking at challenges that small towns face.
The Salisbury Republican Town Committee and two groups from Hotchkiss, the Democrat students and the Republican students, had sponsored a symposium. And it's, you know, the topics that we've all been discussing, including with the governor. You know, decreasing population, the question of whether the schools are going to have to be consolidated, and just sort of a chance, especially for the students, to weigh in on some of those, and moderated by Dave Beiersdorfer.
And history coming back to life at the former Depot.
Cordelia Schiller and I went over to the Depot because Craig Miner, our senator, was supposed to be there. And I didn't realize it. It's like discovering a bunch of little the Keebler elves or something. All these people are showing up at the Depot every Saturday from 10 to 12, and they're taking these things that have been collected through the years, and they're beautifully decorating the Little History Museum. And if you are a railroad buff and would like to help out, just show up 10 to 12 every Saturday, and it's really starting to look great. They're hoping to be open for Memorial Day.
All right. Our world, how to identify and fight green-rooted aliens.
Tom Zadestrom is so funny. And, of course, this is the way that he's describing the invasive, non-native invasive plants that he's dedicated so much of his life to fighting. And he's calling them green aliens. There's another talk coming up at the Scoville Library, I believe, on Saturday, April 27th at 10.
We've got, well, a couple of things, closing of Austin's era and also the excellent immigration vetting process.
Right. Chris George spoke in Salisbury. There have been a lot of talks about immigration and about how you can help. This is another good article from Patrick explaining what the process is. Deb Alexinas went to a presentation at Barkhamsted about Empire-style Jane Austen-era dresses, which I believe should be brought back. I want them back.
All right. Easter. Eggs.
Oh, no. Anne McAndrew. I hate boiled eggs. They just make me choke up. And but Anne nicely volunteered. And I love that she has this, like, seven different recipes for 7 days of the week. And I love the way that she says, it's very easy, and you're a food hero if you do this with very little effort. So read her descriptions.
I'm old enough to remember the horrible boiling water and the color put in.
And the vinegar.
And the vinegar.
It's fun.
And somebody thinks it's fun.
Oh, it was fun as a kid, but when you get to be 12 or 13, it's not so much fun.
No.
All right. Also, what else? We've got Learn to Live Better and Longer.
Yeah, that's a series coming up at, I just turned the page, at the Noble Horizons, I believe. It's ongoing. It's already started. And information on how to sign up for it right there.
All right. Let's go to the opinion page, Janet. Reconciling two sides of a story of trauma.
Right. This is about the Art Wilkinson story in Salisbury. And, you know, he was recreation director there in Salisbury for 39 years. This is a story that affects so many in the community in so many different ways. And so we talk about that. And certainly, as you mentioned, Marshall, it's to the credit of the town of Salisbury, the selectmen, and the town attorney there, too, who asked them to do this, that they went ahead with this investigation and made it completely public. And we hope now the community can move forward, but this is a very one of the most depressing stories of the year, let's say. And, it, you know, the people who are affected really need the support of their neighbors.
Neighbors, and what I really thought was the extra thing that the selectman did was if and this is for people listening now, if in any way you were affected by this, you can get counseling. They've set up through Greenwood's Counseling any way that you've been affected by this. It doesn't matter. You can contact the town, and they'll put you in touch with Greenwood Counseling. I think that's one of the most important things they did.
That's right, and nobody should hesitate because it has far-reaching effects, and as you said, there are many different ways to be affected by it.
All right. I want to go to turning back the pages 50 years ago. Which ruffle some feathers? Unmuffled racing cars.
Right? Yeah. How long has this discussion been going on? Oh, here you go. In 1969, April, we were talking about it, and there had been, well, we'll let people read it. Yeah. Turning back the pages is one of the most interesting parts of our looking back at history in the paper every week. We thank Norma Glaze for doing that for us.
Now, we have to spend a little bit of time with Ralph Nader's Part 2, Boeing's Homicide Will Give Way to Safety Reforms and Flyers Organized. He's just so good on so many subjects, really.
Right, I agree. And, you know, we buy into his syndicated column weekly for $1 a year. And he sends it to us. And, of course, we know him, and he's, you know, very connected to Winsted, having grown up there. But this two-part series is fascinating. Anything else you've read about Boeing's two crashes, this will enlighten you no matter what else you've read. So do read it.
A couple more stories commentaries, one on Iran and one the opioid abuse.
Yes, Rich Kasson has been working on a series. This is part three of that series on opioid abuse, and he will continue with it. It's something he's been working on for months and months because it's so difficult to pull information together. There's so much to it, but he's doing a great job. So read it and let us know your thoughts about it.
All right. We turn to Compass, and Compass is very colorful. Anne's not here, though.
Anne's not here. So we have a nice book that Lila Hawkins put together about Syrian refugees in New York City, and who did a cookbook. And the cookbook, the woman who wrote the cookbook, has become such a hero that she's been hired to do to cater dinners and private dinners and parties in New York City. And they've got a recipe for tabbouleh, which is the ultimate summer recipe. So I do feel like we're bringing summer on by thinking about summertime food. And then Jenny Hansel, formerly of the Northeast Community Center, who stayed with me Sunday night and says hello to everybody, loves the movie Shazam, and she reviewed it for Anne. She had actually been taking a break from writing for a while, so we're happy to see her back. And she sort of says, even if you're not one of those people that's addicted to these comic book heroes, you're going to really like this movie. It's a smaller budget, and it's just not a lot of shooting and things blowing up.
All right. You know, one thing, I'll give you a tip. I don't know if you've resumed the Housatonic students that are now in China. Mm-hmm. They are posting some incredible pictures.
On Instagram or on Facebook?
On both. Okay. And it might be something that when they get back, I think you would do a great story on.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
I think there's like six or eight kids that went, but they're seeing some amazing things in China.
Yeah. Always. It's an annual trip. I don't think people realize that the Husi kids have an exchange with China.
Yeah.
And every year a group of students goes over there.
But I think you're right. I don't think people realize that it's an annual.
Right. Yeah.
Before we talk about springtime, I'd just like to say what a phenomenal job Alex did.
Okay. Alex, you've been recognized as doing a phenomenal job of putting together springtime. And may I say, I like the cover. I like the heavy paper on the cover and on the front and the back. But also a lot what's in there. How can you lose when you got Katie Baldwin in the front? You can't lose. Go on, Alex.
Thank you. So Spring Tonic is back. We have a new look and a new name this year. It's Springtime with a big glossy cover. We worked really hard on this, and I think it really pops on the stands. I looked at it at the White Hart yesterday. They have a ton of copies, so it is really out in the world.
Thanks to Libby Hall.
So our cover is interior designer Katie Baldwin in Lakeville. It was photographed by Anne Day, and she also writes the story inside, talking with Katie about window treatments, which can be the last thing people think about in a room. But Katie really brings a fresh, clean, modern style and lets all the light in for your spring windows.
Now, I like the story that was done on Michael Trapp.
Deb Alexinas talked to Michael Trapp in his store in West Cornwall. If you've never been there, it's really worth a trip. It's a little world unto itself and has a beautiful garden in the back. And then Janice Siller talked about the environmental benefits, but also some of the hardships of doing no-till gardening, which is anything with sort of carbon farming is really interesting to me, and I think interesting to a lot of people up here who are growing things this spring. And then on the other side of the gardening, Deb Alexinas talked about koi ponds and talked to Kent, Koi Ponds and Waterfalls, about installing or properly installing any sort of water feature into your garden. She had had a mishap in the past, and she plans to redo it the professional way in the future. And Anne and I went to talk to Bunny Williams. Bunny is someone who moved to Falls Village 30 years ago, I'm sorry. She redecorated the Falls Village Inn at no charge, and she has just recently bought up a building on Main Street that was set to be torn down, but she and Seth Churchill have completely redone it. It's going to be open in the summer, and hopefully will be a new economic and retail hub for the town.
It's where the, for people, it's where the old, this is going to update me, there was a supermarket there at one time. There was also a lot of indoor, but it was a commercial-looking old building in the middle of Falls Village, and they've changed it into a building that fits into the whole atmosphere now of the town.
Yeah, they really pulled from a lot of the Greek Revival architecture to make it really blend in with the town. Yeah, it has beautiful columns up front.
They did a great job, yeah. All right, vegan spring salad.
So I led readers through a no-waste shopping trip that's reducing the paper, plastic, and glass that you accumulate while grocery shopping in favor of more reusable items when you make cooking. And I did a vegan salad recipe to go along with that. And then I got my father to actually write a story this year. He and I cooked up this idea of taking IKEA bookshelves, which anyone can spot, and waxing and repainting them using this furniture polish and Annie Selke's chalk paint to completely turn them into something that looks like it's custom made.
Whose room did it go in?
They've gone in a few rooms. We've done a few of these bookshelves. They're the Billy bookshelves. They're really standard, but you can make them look like there's something that was baked into your decor.
Okay, and succulent plants.
Lila Hawken went to Noreen Driscoll of Sweet Haven Farms. She's been doing workshops at Christmas in Chihuahua and then this spring at Noble Horizons. And Anne took the succulent photos, which just look fantastic.
And congratulations to everybody because the addition, the springtime addition, does look spectacular on the outside. And it's full of stuff on the inside, so congratulations.
Janet, do you want to talk about the paper?
Oh, well, I can't. You know, we see plenty of these glossies on the for free pickup around here and have for years. But, you know, we're proud of all the special sections we have done over the years. And this one, we've worked toward finding a way to do it and, you know, not having it be too so costly that we can't afford to do it, let's put it that way. And so this is our first time out with it, though we've done even the health and wellness section we did last time that Cynthia worked on and came out great is better paper, a little bit different size. But this is our goal, is to try to give them better quality so the photos reproduce better, and that photo of Katie Baldwin on the front just, you know, makes us very happy.
Yeah, no, it did a good job. And those little advancements, step by step, make a big difference. And all of a sudden, you know, 5 years later, you look back and you say, wow, it's just like you forget the way it used to be when you get into doing new stuff like this. So
it's true.
So we remember when there was only black and white in the label.
That's true. We do.
We're all young.
That's
back in the good old days. Well, we are out of time. The Lakeville Journal is available at the web, tricornernews.com, on your newsstands, home delivery, and, of course, also on Facebook.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter. Happy Passover.
Happy good Easter. Yontif. Happy Passover. And we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. And you can find this show, once again, on demand, robinhoodradio.com, on demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.